Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. Welcome back to the show. Very excited to have Doug Elgin, the commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference, on the way at 11:30. I know he is thrilled because his Loyola Ramblers, one of his 10 institutions, in the Final Four. We'll catch up with Commissioner Elgin, who is on his way back from Atlanta, where he witnessed that 78-62 win for Loyola, a terrific win over Kansas State. They finally just go out and blast somebody. Let me tell you something. Loyola could win the national championship. They are that good. Michigan is really good, and they won yesterday 58-54 over a very pesky Florida State team that knocked out Missouri and knocked out Xavier and advanced all the way to that Elite Eight game. But Michigan is a tough opponent for Loyola. They're very well coached by Cardinals fan John Beilein. Well, we'll see what Cubs fan Porter Moser has in store as he rolls his team into the Final Four. That's really exciting. It's 2013, Wichita State was in the Final Four. Now Loyola is in. Doug Elgin's had two teams in the Final Four in the last 6 years. Wichita State left the league. Everybody said, "Up, the valley's down now. They're only going to put one team in. They're a one-bid league, blah, blah, blah." Well, Loyola gets in. What do? They go to the Final Four, and they're legit. I mean, so we'll find out the other two later on as Texas Tech is going to play today. And Texas Tech is awfully good. I mean, they took care of business against Purdue, and they're going to play Villanova at 1:20 today. I would not overlook the Red Raiders in that game. Duke and Kansas is a just classic matchup at 4:05 today. So those are the games on the docket, and we'll catch up with Doug Elgin and talk some Final Four on the way at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we're talking some baseball. It's the Inside Pitch with Kyle McClellan, sponsored by Ameren, Illinois. Here's Alex Ferrario.
Thank you, Mike. We get a chance now to chat with former Cardinals pitcher Kyle McClellan, always with us here on Sunday mornings, brought to us by Ameren, Illinois. Kyle, spring training wearing down as we approach March 29th, the first game of the 2018 season, Cardinals and Mets.
Yeah, it's exciting. The team will be leaving Jupiter today, heading up to Montreal for a couple games, and then we get to play for real. So it's been a good spring training, but I know everybody's chomping at the bit for the real game to start.
When does it hit as a player, Kyle, where, okay, spring training is spring training, let's get this thing underway?
Yeah, it depends on what position you are. I think the position players, they're probably about a week ago, they're kind of like, all right, I'm ready to go. Relievers, once you get about that eight games in, you're ready to go. And starting pitchers, sometimes they need a little bit more because they got to build up their innings, but you're always, it depends on how you're doing too. If you're doing well, you're like, all right, let's go. I want regular season to start tomorrow. If you're struggling, you hope spring training keeps going for another few weeks until you can come out of it.
Well, it's a little different for these guys too, isn't it, Kyle? Because usually you're starting the season off in the beginning of April, and this season you're starting off late March.
Yeah, they do. They start early in New York, which, you know, just got a foot of snow, so that's going to be interesting. Hopefully it's not too frigid up there. But I think the biggest thing out of the Cardinals' schedule is that they got some tough games right out of the gate, and they need to perform well. They need to come out. Last year, if you remember, they really struggled out of the gate, and they can't afford to do that. They got Milwaukee. They got Chicago. They have some really good opponents early on. So it's important for them to play well and come out and start off strong.
It's kind of nice to get the tone setters, I guess, right, when you see Milwaukee as early as they do, because that's the team that I know a lot of people have talked about this offseason with the move to get Christian Yelich and the pitching rotation and for how young they are. Maybe nice to jump into that Central Division early to try and see what this is going to be like, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think for the Cardinals standpoint, to say we've retooled, we think we're better, and we're going to come in and we're going to show that style of play and kind of let you know that we're a little different team than we were last year. And offensively, I think that's true. They are really exciting when you start looking at that lineup 1 through 7. When you start going through those names of of Dexter Fowler and Matt Carpenter and Tommy Pham and Marcelo Zuna and Jose Martinez, I think, is going to see more at bats this year. And then Colton Wong and Yadi and Paul D, he's going to play in. It's going to be an exciting lineup, especially that 1-4 is going to be really dynamic for the Cardinals this year.
Again, we're talking with Kyle McClellan, former Cardinals pitcher, always brought to us by Ameren Illinois. Kyle, speaking of the offense, a lot of eyes focused on Matt Carpenter. I know at the beginning of spring training it was, oh boy, he's dealing with this injury. Who knows if he's going to be ready? And now he has been tearing up the ball, hitting over 500. I think everybody's excited to see him get underway.
Yeah, and all his are hit hard too. I mean, if he's making it out, they are hit extremely hard right at somebody for the most part. So he is doing really well. It was not good seeing him early on the way he was moving with that back issue. And so for him to be healthy, to be playing well is going to be, it's great to see, but he's got to do that all year. He's really, me and Claiborne and Ackerman were talking about it the other day. I really think this whole offense revolves around him and Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham has to stay out there, has to be healthy and produce like he did last year, and Matt Carpenter has got to be in that lineup. If one of those two guys are out, or both of them, this offense is going to struggle. Those two have got to stay healthy, stay on the field, and continue to be productive.
Talk to me a little bit about Tommy Pham, Kyle. Not the spring training that he or Cardinals fans were hoping for, as he's currently hitting under 200. When does the concern level set in, or has it already set in?
Well, I think there's always a concern when you see somebody struggle like he has. He's been striking out a lot, been seeing a lot of pitches getting behind in the count quickly, but you know that concern. And so for him, the biggest thing is, look, he has a lot on his plate right now. He's playing. He's a guy that's been playing for a long time, but this is the first time he's playing for his first year of arbitration. He knows there's a lot of money at the end of this year if he can play well. And then they went through the whole renewal thing, and you know that was talked about quite a bit. So he's got a lot on his table from a contract-wise and career-wise, and also what he did last year trying to live up to that. So for him, he just has to buy into the fact that it is spring training. Whether or not you believe it or not, you have to buy into it and say it's spring training. When I get there for the regular season, the lights are on, it's a bigger stage, and I'm going to be able to perform. But I would say, you know, there's definitely some concern just because of the way that his spring has gone, but you don't put too much stock into it.
To go negative to a positive, Kyle, Jairo Munoz, a player that surprised a lot of people this spring training. What is it about this player that provides the Cardinals something different?
Well, he can play a lot of different positions, and that's really why he ended up making the team. You have him and Harrison Bader going for that last spot. Bader's not going to be a guy that can play the infield. Munoz is a guy that can play the outfield. I wouldn't say he's going to be very, very strong at it. He can go out there. We saw him in spring training games, made all the plays. But offensively, he hits. He takes advantage of opportunities. He was a young guy coming into camp that came over in this trade from Oakland. Not a lot of people knew about him. When he got opportunities, he made you pay attention to him, and he continued to do it as they gave him more and more of a leash and just impressed everybody enough to make his way on the roster. So for him, the versatility that he can play a little bit of everywhere and is just going to be able to continue to show that he can offensively produce as well, he's going to have a great role on this team.
Couple more minutes with former Cardinals pitcher Kyle McClellan with us here on Sports on a Sunday Morning, always brought to us by Ameren Illinois. Kyle, on the pitching side, Miles Michaelis supposed to be rounding out that rotation. In the first 6 1/3 innings pitched this spring training for Miles, he gave up a total of 16 earned runs. In his last 15 innings pitched, he's only given up 2. Has he formed into a rotation man for this Cardinals team?
So I got to see him throw the other day, and you know he's got a big breaking ball. His breaking ball is not very sharp. It's got a little loop into it. It'll be interesting to see how that plays during the season. But he's got a good little slider cutter thing, whatever it is, that gets guys out in front and gets them off balance. And he has a good fastball. He was throwing 94, 96 miles an hour. So it will be interesting to see his role in that transition. He's been out of the country for the last 3 years. How does that play here in the U.S. after being gone for so long? We'll see. But he's an important part, and him struggling early, I think, really had the Cardinals brass concern in front office, because they had Jack Flaherty. They were doing a 6-man rotation for a while there, in my opinion, to make sure that if something happened there with Miles, that they had Flaherty ready to go. And finally, once he started to come around, Flaherty went down to the minor leagues, and he'll be that first guy up. He was extremely impressive this spring.
Well, and do you like the way that the rotation is set up, Kyle? I mean, it's kind of what we expected with Waino and Martinez and Waka and Weaver, and as we just talked about, Michaelis. And then Jack Flaherty, like you mentioned, I mean, he is going to be the first man up. So I'd say a 6-man rotation with the possibility of Reyes jumping in sets up for a pretty nice, solid rotation for this Cardinals team.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about their starting rotation than I did when I came down. Seeing Adam Wainwright healthy and his breaking ball is back, which is going to be something that's going to – he has to have that or he won't be successful – that is very encouraging. Carlos Martinez worries me a little bit. I know he's been working on that cutter, but he's been on the backfield for a while. He's been very erratic. Just doesn't seem like he's quite dialed it in yet for opening day. Now, he can do that with the flip of a switch, we hope, but I'll be interested to see how he starts, because this spring, it just hasn't been the cleanest spring, and there's been, he's been on the backfields for quite a while. Right. I would say he's had almost more starts back there than he did on the big field, so we'll see how that plays. But other than that, Luke Weaver has been extremely impressive. Just his development and how he continues to progress, he's been a lot of fun to watch. Walk has been good. Just got to stay healthy, and I think the starting rotation will be okay.
Yeah, health is going to be the biggest thing for this pitching staff, Kyle, and the bullpen, the final one for you. As we know, Luke Gregerson's going to start the season on the DL, but, boy, Dominic Leone, I think, is impressed, and he looks to be the closer to start this season off.
Yeah, he would be my pick. Early on in spring, you kind of saw that, kept getting those opportunities and did really well, but Tyler Lyons is going to be a guy that's going to get some opportunities late in the game. He's going to play a pivotal role for this team. He's been so good against righties and lefties down here. That breaking ball he throws, right-handers just give up on it because it's so far out of the box when it starts, and then it crosses right across the plate and it's hard for them to pull the trigger on. And then everybody else is going to have to see where they fall in line from there. Bud Norris has kind of had an up-and-down spring.
Yeah.
You have a lot of these guys, that Tui Valala, and you have Previa, you have guys like that. Is Mike Myers going to be one that makes the club? There's a lot of guys that are going to have to find their roles there, but I think the back end, you're going to have a lot of options. Going to figure out who's going when.
That's some smart stuff there from Kyle McClellan. He's right about that. As Tyler Lyons, Dominic Leone, according to John Mozeliak, would be the first two that they'll work on at the back end as the closers based on matchups. John Mozeliak on KMOX, and we'll hear a little bit from him coming up in the next segment, what I talked about with him last hour. Adam Wainwright injured. He does have a strained hamstring. They're calling it a hamstring-related injury. They haven't had a complete evaluation on that, so calling it a strain would be just speculation. But again, a hamstring injury for Wainwright. Scratch from the start today. You do have Jack Flaherty in reserve if you need him, so we'll see what the extent of that injury is. We may get updated a little bit later today. The Cardinals are going to throw Jordan Hicks today against the Washington Nationals, and that game is coming up with an 11:45 pregame and a 12:05 first pitch from West Palm Beach, Florida. A little bit more from Mozeliak. We'll give you a Cardinals report. We'll look at a few other things related to this club, and then at the bottom of the hour, Doug Elgin, the commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference, with a big smile on his face. Loyola is dancing. Sister Jean and the Loyola Ramblers, Porter Moser and crew, headed to the Final Four. Back in a moment, Tom Ackerman with you, sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX.
This is a Cardinals Spring Training Report, sponsored by the Davy Tree Expert Company, on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning, and we indeed do have some Cardinals news. So Adam Wainwright, as John Mozeliak told us, has an injury. I caught up with the president of baseball operations just a little while ago on this show.
You know, we're still just trying to work through some things. As I said, we've had some nicks, some injuries here at the last part of this, and hopeful it's nothing serious, but still waiting for the complete eval.
Is it something that you can tell us, location on the body or anything like that?
Hamstring related, but hopefully it's not serious.
Gotcha. And then Luke Gregerson's hamstring put him on the disabled list to start the season. I know he's frustrated about that. Luckily, you have some arms in reserve to try to work out who can close games.
Well, it's not ideal. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but that's why we tried to create a bullpen with depth so we could address these types of things. So hopefully that depth is strong enough to get us through the first couple weeks. I don't envision Luke's situation being one of those that drags too long, but with the 10-day DL, it's better to be prudent and smart than try to push.
What do you think about what you've seen just overall from this bullpen? Have you been encouraged by, let's say someone like Josh Lucas, who came in and was keeping hitters from doing much, and that kind of made decisions maybe a little bit tougher?
Well, I think, a lot of the depth we saw from our minor leagues is certainly something that was great to see from a camp standpoint, but, specifically talking about how did we get the, eighth or ninth inning as we enter the season on Thursday, I think you're going to see either Dominic Leone or someone like Tyler Lyons get that opportunity. So Both guys threw the ball well this camp. Both guys have the ability to finish a game, and both guys will get that opportunity as we move forward.
So John Mozeliak saying right there something that Mike Matheny would not, is that it'll be Lyon or Lions getting the first crack at closer, and they'll do that based on matchups. Now, Lyons can attack right-handers just like he can be dominant against lefties. Lyon looks awfully good. A fastball that has some movement at the end, a lot of life on it. So we'll see between those two. That's one concern, and then the other one would be the rotation with Wainwright dealing with his hamstring injury. And again, Mozeliak telling us last hour that they need to get the complete evaluation. They don't know if that's something that would put him on the DL. They don't know if it's serious. They are hopeful that it is not. Now, I will tell you that the word is Jack Flaherty got on that bus to go down to West Palm. That party is going to go to Montreal. So Flaherty, who has pitched very well down in spring, is right now the sixth starter. So, and I talked to Mozeliak about it in that interview, and he said with Flaherty, he was probably one of their best five pitchers. He said, unfortunately, we only take five with us. But it is reassuring, insurance, as he called it, that Flaherty is there in case of something, and now they do have a case. If Wainwright is hurt, they could turn to Flaherty. He didn't say that necessarily because he still wants to wait for that Wainwright evaluation. But that's where we are right now with the Cardinals dealing with an injury to Adam Wainwright. He's been scratched from the start today. Jordan Hicks is the pitcher today for the Cardinals at West Palm, and we also have the lineup in our hands here, and this is a ferocious lineup. I mean, this is a lineup that I think will play big time in the regular season. I think the Cardinals have one of the best 1-8s. Here's the lineup they're putting on the field today. You tell me how many teams have a better 1-8 than this. Dexter Fowler is going to lead off and play. This is against Steven Strasburg today. Dexter Fowler is going to lead off and play right field. Tommy Pham, who struggled in the spring, but we all know that he's really good in night games, sometimes not as good in day games. He has that vision issue. We'll see if he can get that all corrected. But he was really good on the backfields yesterday. Pham bats second. Matt Carpenter, who's tearing the cover off the ball, is going to bat third and play third base. Marcelo Zuna, who's been a monster down there, is the left fielder batting fourth. Jose Martinez is the first baseman today and bats fifth. That is quite appealing to have Martinez as your number five hitter behind Ozuna, and Carpenter batting in front of Ozuna is going to see all kinds of pitches. Yadier Molina is the catcher batting sixth in the lineup. Your number seven hitter led you in home runs last year, Paul DeJong. The shortstop bats seventh in this order, and I like that spot for him too. Eventually, could he be a five? Yes, but let's see him earn it. He needs to cut down on those strikeouts. And then Colton Wong is the second baseman batting eighth, and Colton's been pretty good. He's shown some speed, and we'll see if that hitting can continue to improve. Jordan Hicks is the pitcher. Carlos Martinez is going to be the starter on opening day against the Mets. So there's your lineup today. Fowler, Pham, Carpenter, Ozuna, Martinez, Molina, DeJong, Wong, and Hicks. That is awfully good. You know who else is good? Loyola. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the team that's in the Final Four with the commissioner of the league they are in. That's Doug Elgin. I know he's excited. So are we. The St. Louis-based conference has another team in the Final Four. And when we come back, the commissioner will be with us. I'm Tom Ackerman. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Get ready for the Blues and Blue Jackets tonight. Pre-game's gate 5:30. The puck drops at 6. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Blues. KMOX. Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday Morning on America's Sports Voice. KMOX.
Tom Ackerman with you. Obviously, that was wrong. That was just run. The Blues played last night against the Blue Jackets. I know our big boy voice had it that it's tonight, but that one in error, as you know, as we heard Chris Kerber on the air just a little while ago. A 2-1 win over the Blue Jackets for the Blues, who are on fire. And also, just announced by Cardinals manager Mike Matheny, as we speculated, Adam Wainwright will be replaced by Jack Flaherty in the rotation. Wainwright is on the disabled list to start the season, according to Matheny. John Mozeliak gave us the news just a little while ago around 10 o'clock this morning that Wainwright was dealing with a hamstring injury. They were checking that injury and evaluating it to see if he needed to go on the DL. They have determined now within the last 90 minutes that he does. So Wainwright is going to start the season on the disabled list along with Luke Gregerson, who also has a hamstring injury. Both of them go on the DL to start the year. That does mean that the Cardinals' Jack Flaherty, who has been fantastic in since the spring will be the fifth starter, and we'll kind of see where they go from here. But now you're looking at a rotation with Carlos Martinez, with Michael Wacha, Luke Weaver, Miles Michaelis, and Jack Flaherty. A combination of those five, they'll determine the course of action here as we move along. But it's tough for Wainwright. The 10-day DL, it's not that long. He can bounce back from that and start another game. But in the meantime, looks like you're going to get to see big Jack Flaherty, who looks terrific. And that's exactly why they had him start games. He was the sixth starter in the Grapefruit League, not only as a backup in case Miles Michaelis didn't make it, but in case of injury. And now we have an injury to Adam Wainwright. He goes on the DL, and Jack Flaherty makes the move. Joining us on the line is Doug Elgin, the commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference. And I know he's a happy man right now. The Loyola Ramblers, my goodness. Commissioner, 78-62, the win yesterday over Kansas State was a rout. Finally, they get a little breathing room after a bunch of close shaves. How are you, and how has your day gone so far?
Well, it's been a short night coming off of a late game last night in Atlanta, Tom. And, you know, certainly everyone associated with Loyola and the Missouri Valley Conference are very proud of the run that the Ramblers have made. And I think it's really an historic journey to the Final Four for this team and the program, and of course for Sister Jean as well.
Yeah, Sister Jean, isn't it amazing how she's captured the hearts of everybody and has become a celebrity? As she said, someone said, you become a national celebrity. She said, let me correct you, international celebrity.
Yeah, she's cute. And I'll tell you what, somebody asked her what she gave up for Lent, and she said losing. That was a great line.
Yeah, so I love
it. They're in a good position. They look forward to a matchup with Michigan next week in San Antonio. I think that's Saturday, the 31st, and it should be exciting to see just how far this Loyola team can go.
That'll be a tough matchup for them. John Beilein and that team, well coached, firing on all cylinders. They weren't yesterday necessarily, but they found a way to beat Florida State 58-54, get the job done. And that's kind of what they do. That Michigan team is really good. But Loyola doesn't seem to be afraid of anybody. And they went ahead and took care of business against K-State. They took down their opponents before that. And this is what we have seen all year. I get to do some games in the Valley. You, of course, travel around and see everybody, Commissioner. And Loyola, it's not a surprise to any of us that they're playing good basketball.
Oh, no question. They're called a Cinderella, but this is a team that's built around teamwork. They have some outstanding athletes, including Clayton Custer, who was the Larry Bird Trophy winner for the Missouri Valley this year. And a team that won't be a surprise to anyone that they are matched up with in the Final Four. So they're really looking at a business trip to San Antonio. They're going there to win. So I think there's no one is surprised any longer that this team can beat four straight high major teams and find themselves still alive in the mix and in the Final Four.
They had the Valley Player of the Year, Clayton Custer. Ben Richardson was the best player in the South region. They have great play up and down the lineup. Dante Ingram's a terrific player for them. They have good depth. They are fun to watch, and their coach is fantastic. And Porter Moser, Commissioner, has taken a while to build this. This was not an overnight thing, was it?
No, it wasn't. And when he went to Loyola from St. Louis University staff, you know, he knew he had a project in his hands, and he's been very patient. But the Loyola administration has been very supportive. He's built that program very carefully. He's got high character kids, most of whom have played on high school championship programs, and you know, it's a joy to see such a good story in college basketball at this time of year with Loyola, of course. I think winning the hearts of college basketball fans who aren't aligned with any of the other three programs. So it'll be a large following for Loyola, both their boosters who go to the games and those who are just college basketball fans are going to be rooting for a team that's still viewed as an underdog.
Yes, they are. And Porter Moser, the assistant for Rick Majerus at St. Louis University, and I know somewhere up there Coach Majerus is smiling and probably drawing up plays on a napkin for Saturday, because that was just such a great relationship. I know how proud he is of Porter. But I want to switch the focus to the office that's just to the south and east of that university, and that would be the Missouri Valley Conference office right there on Shoto. That building, and you've heard it from the outside, Wichita State leaves the conference, and the Valley is not going to be what it once was. The Valley's a one-bid league, et cetera, et cetera. All you've done after Wichita State went to the Final Four in 2013 and then left the league is take that one bid all the way to the Final Four. What is the level of pride right now, and are you trying to, I'd say, not puff your chest out too much? You're a classy guy, Doug Elgin, but you have every right to be able to stick your chest out and be proud of your league.
Well, we are, of course. You know, the staff in St. Louis, our staff is well thought of in NCAA circles due to the number of events that we've hosted here. But to have one of our teams have this kind of a postseason journey is pretty special, quite honestly. Really just beginning to sink in for all of us. And we're looking forward. We're going to take the whole staff down to San Antonio, and they're going to do what they can to assist Loyola. This is a monster operation logistically when suddenly you find yourselves a couple of days away from your entire university community and all of your donors and boosters looking to travel. There's an awful lot to be done. So we're moving. We've moved beyond the Elite Eight win last night against Kansas State to a mode where we're looking to help Loyola as much as we can to transition to playing two more games in San Antonio.
Well, I'm coming down there too with all my Valley logoed stuff. I got all kinds of Valley gear. I gotta wear some stuff. No, because the league is a good basketball league, and it's a good sports conference, period. But these are good basketball teams. This is not really that much of a shocker when you really evaluate what the league is about. Good coaches, good players. A tough league, and anybody who comes into it, Nico Medved, the coach at Drake, who has now left the league, said it, one thing he noticed coming in was the preparedness of all of these coaches.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, the history that we have in the NCAA tournament in recent years, you look back over the last 20, 25 years, we won 38 games in the tournament, had 11 Sweet 16 trips, won now two trips to the Final Four in that period. And 28 of the 38 wins that we've had have come against Power 5 conference teams. So we've beaten Kansas. Our teams, member institutions, have beaten Kansas three times, not to jag the Jayhawks, Tennessee four times. And the other names on this list really look like the top 20. So, you know, I think we have a reputation as being competitive nationally. I know that when coaches of opposing teams see our member teams in the bracket that they have to face, I know they know they're going to get a battle. And certainly our teams have historically played up to high levels and competed very well in the NCAA tournament.
Final thing for you, Doug. This is the million-dollar question, or should I say multi-million-dollar question. How much money does the league get? Can you disclose what the league receives having Loyola in the Final Four?
It's very public. To this point, they will have earned five units, as we say, played in five games minimum. And whether they play a second game in the Final Four, the payout from this year's participation will be the same, about $8.5 million. And that money is paid out over the next 6 years and combined with all of the other games that we participate in a rolling six-year period. Kind of hard to describe it. But this year, the payout to the Missouri Valley was about $6.5 million. That will go up slightly, depending upon how successful we are in future NCAA tournaments.
Doug Elgin, thanks for the visit. All the best to you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
There's the Valley Commissioner. I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks to Greg Harvey. Terrific producing today on KMOX.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.